He's doing. Hello, this is Thomas Haywood of the YMCA Rotherham, the My Place building. This is the 24th of the 10th, 2019, and I am sat here with David Kendrick, recording for the 175 event. If you'd like to kind of announce your name and...
Right. David Kendrick, aged 80, part of the YMCA since 1954.
Fantastic. Right, so as you know, today we're here recording for the 175 event.
Yeah.
And we're trying to record a auditory history of influential members of the YMCA and people who've worked with it over the years. Would you care to unburden yourself and talk to us about your general history with the YMCA and where it all began?
Mm-hmm. The I started with the YMCA 1954 purely by accident, because my elder brother was with the boys' club at the bottom of the high street and Effingham Street, and I thought I wouldn't go and tread on his toes. So I turned right up Doncaster Gate, left onto Howard Street, and that's where the old YMCA was. You had to climb up to first floor level, and it just so happened, as I'm climbing the stairs, the General Secretary, called Frank Beardsall, he was a JP, he'd just come out of his office, and he said to me, "Can I help you?" I told him I'd like to join the YMCA, and he said, "Come with me." So we went back into his office, and when I told him who I was, he said, "I know your family." And whilst I was 15 and a half then, in theory you couldn't join the YMCA until you were 16.
Oh.
But because he knew my family, I was in straight away at 15 and a half. I've been there ever since, which is almost 65 years.
Well, you don't look a day over 30.
I thought you said 20 last time.
let's not stretch the truth. Well, we appreciate you being here.
Pleasure.
We appreciate you recording for today. We would like to go through some specific moments in the YMCA's history over your entire time with us.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to allude to the most sort of influential best times and the worst times?
I'm not sure about worst times, because to be fair, I don't think I've had worst times.
Oh, fantastic.
After joining, the first thing I was, co-opted on was the billiard committee. And that was the very first thing I did. It was only a small committee, but we used to organise the tournament for the YMCA. And at that time, we had certainly 250, maybe 300 members, but not all of them playing snooker or billiards.
Mm-hmm.
We used to organise the tournaments, and they all, the winners had little cups at the end, and the down lower part of the cup was engraved with the name of the person and the year that they won. And after that, I joined the football committee, and we had five teams, and purely in relation to the Hallamshire grading, we had one premier side, which was everybody over 21 could be there, two association league sides, one intermediate side, and one junior side. And mainly I was responsible for the intermediate and juniors. We played on Heronthorpe playing fields.
Oh,
when we were at home. When we were away, my twin brother worked for a company called Dobson's, and they had a van. And I used to borrow this van on a Saturday afternoon, and all the team would clamber into the back and off we would go wherever the then home team was playing from. After that, at the age of 21, you could, with nomination, put your name forward to go on to the council, which comprised six personnel from the dignitaries of the town and six members of the YMCA. On the first year, I didn't succeed in nomination, purely because the chap who was going to retire decided not to on that particular occasion. And the second year, when I was 22, I became a member of the council, and I've been on the council in its various guises ever since then. I think one of the main things we organised was what is known as the Long March. And we didn't invent that name. There'd been long marches taking place up and down the country. But the General Secretary then, called Roy Weaver, decided we would have a long march. We set off at midnight and at various stations coming from up at Wickersley, possibly just slightly further along from Wickersley.
Towards Bramley Way?
Yes.
Yep.
We had feed stations and record stations that we knew then who had gone past us down to the next one. And that raised, I think it was somewhere around about £5,000 for the YM, which was, as you say, fantastic. After that, we held dances at the YMCA old building on Howard Street. And I can remember one Christmas, we had a stage at one end of the room, and my mate and I constructed a stage at the other end so we could have two groups playing. And so the first group didn't have to dismantle all their kit, etc. And you were supposed to have 180 people, no more than. And I'm sorry to say, I know the microphone's going, I'm sorry to say, I couldn't count in those days. And we had far more occasions, over 180. So it was very popular dance.
Oh, fantastic.
And raised quite a lot of money for the YM. After that, and the Long March, which was a 30-mile walk, what did we do after that? Oh, there were several occasions where we painted the walls and ceilings within the old YMCA building, and they were mainly done night time. And the building faced onto Eastwood Lane. And there was one occasion when we heard a rapping on the front door, and it was a policeman.
Oh.
Evidently, we were making too much noise. And when he came in to see what was happening, he said, "All right, I'm going. That's the end of it." He was just one of those smashing policemen who wasn't going to stir any trouble.
On the beat.
On the beat, yeah. If I can hold just for a moment whilst,
I
think of what happened after that.
We're just continuing our interview after a brief hiatus. Still sat here with David Kendrick around the 175 project. So, David, we've recently just looked through some pictures which will be cited in our recording as potential pieces of evidence sent forward. Would you care to elaborate on a fondest memory? A very specific memory of one event that may have influenced your entire career with the YMCA?
I think the very latest one was being asked to go to Buckingham Palace for the Queen's birthday celebrations, and that was last year. That would be 2018, maybe 2017. Going way back from there, apart from the official openings that we've just talked about, the very first ones, the 1950s, I was only a little lad in the sense of being 15, just going on 16. Memorable occasions after that would be, if you can just take that off for a moment.
No, that's quite all right. We'll just pause that. Right, continuing the recording with David Kendrick. So, David, we touched upon the ties between the YMCA and, obviously, the Christian faith, and how they both influence each other, and how, obviously, things changed greatly over the time. Are we okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get you that glass of water as well, actually.
It's all right, thank you.
So how would you say your own personal upbringing, your faith and the likes, has influenced your work with the YMCA and vice versa?
Mm-hmm. I think it all, first of all, as far as attending a church, I attended the Rodham Parish Church, and in those days there was a pastor, A.A. Biddle, that used to run Sunshine Corner from the bandstand in Clifton Park, and he had an associate colleague, I wish I could remember his name, and eventually, through going to the bandstand, my parents started going to the bandstand, but I wouldn't know that because there was a railing all the way round, and my parents used to stand on the back of the railing, but Pastor A.A. Biddle could see, and he used to say, "Are there any twins in seated around?" And of course off we would gallop, my twin brother Peter and myself, and we would stand up, and then you had to do what you want. You could either sing or recite or whatever, but we didn't know at that time that we were, if you like, being watched by parents. And there was one occasion where evidently Pastor Biddle was calling for twins because Mum and Dad were there, but Peter and I had gone off to watch motorbike speed racing, which was taking place further up the park. So he's calling out all the time for us, and we were 100 yards away at the time.
Engrossed in your motorbikes.
That's right. And we got a little bit of a, I'm going to say telling off, that would be too much, because Mum and Dad didn't really know then where we were. But we survived.
A cautioning.
Yes. So where did we get to then? I think big occasions, quotes, not massive, were the receiving of trophies in connection with the football teams that the YMCA used to run. And we ran five teams, one in the Premiership, not FA Premiership, but South Yorkshire, two in the Association League, and they were senior players. One intermediate league and one junior. And I was the football secretary for all those teams. And we used to go off all over the place. My brother worked for a company in Rotherham, and I think it was televisions and all things like that. And on a Saturday afternoon, he used to loan me his van. And if you can imagine 11, 12, 13 footballers climbing into the back of this van, certainly won't be allowed today.
I'm assuming no seat belts and
no seat belts.
Type of van was it? Do you remember? An old Morris or?
No, I would go for a Ford more than likely, but it was one of the wider vans, you know, and I used to drive the van, and coming away from the YMCA in Howard Street, turning down Doncaster Gate and the traffic lights that controlled the junction there, then I was going to turn right. But I couldn't quite turn right immediately, and I'm creeping further and further along, so the road in front of me is getting less and less, and lads in the back thought I was going to go through the window of Burton's tailors, but we missed that. And to be fair, the van served a smashing purpose, because with no other means really of getting out to Thorpe Esley or whatever. So if we just take that.
Of course, we'll take a short pause. So, David, you wish to continue about the Long March anyway. Mm-hmm. So would you care to elaborate what that was and the purpose for it and who was involved?
Pleasure. We, as the YMCA, didn't actually invent the name Long March, but fundamentally the Long March was a 30-mile route for people or young people to walk. And through our general secretary at that time, a gentleman called Roy Weaver, we sat down and decided we would replicate the Long March. And it was going to take place at a night time, which was a little bit more exciting for the people taking part. And we had marshals at various points along the route of the Long March, which would end up at the YMCA. And it was their job, first of all, to record the people that we knew was taking part in the Long March, which was something around 250 people, and they would record as they went through their particular station. And we had food stations, and there was a company in Rotherham called Veers who made bread, pastries and all that kind of thing. And I went to Veers' office and said, look, this is what we'd like to do. Would you support us? And without any hesitation, they said yes.
Oh,
so we got all the food, bread, delicacies, whatever. Then we got to get the water, because you didn't drink alcohol really in those days at all. You know, it wasn't part of the menu. And we got all the water, and I forget who actually gave us the canisters of water and so on. But nevertheless, we had no complaints for any of the residents from way, way, way up Wickersley Road and beyond, Bowtry Road, etc., etc. And the march went successfully, and the proceeds, which took a long time to come in, but nevertheless, it was all recorded, and I think we raised about £5,000 for the YMCA.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Would you be able to kind of quantify the more modern equivalent? What would that? Would you?
What in pension and some pence?
Yeah, would you say it'd be?
I think it might be going towards 15,000-20,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Fantastic work then.
Yes. And it sounds as if it's hard work getting it all organised. And to be fair, a lot of time was spent organising it. But really, it was more a pleasure than anything else. So that was the Long March. And then as far as the building was concerned, we had to keep it in good decorative order. And It was mainly for me to organise teams to do painting and decorating, particularly of the building, billiards room, etc. And we used to do that on a night time. And it was my job to try and get the emulsion paint to spread out over what seemed then lots of walls. And I was diluting the emulsion and keep diluting until really we was putting on just slightly coloured water.
So you were painting with watercolours by the end
of it. Oh, by gosh. But nevertheless, once again, nobody said, you know, that doesn't look clean and tidy or anything like
that. They appreciated the effort, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. So that was that. And if you can just pause.
Yeah, of course. We can pause. I was thinking. Then if you'd feel free to continue.
Yes. On several occasions, the old building in Howard Street wanted painting and decorating, which is fair. And up on first floor, we had five billiard tables, for instance. And you can appreciate how much room five tables would take up. And one particular night, it was generally for me and the secretary to organise a team to come in and paint. And sure enough, we got a team and we were painting quite happily. But to be fair, the windows were open and there was a knock on our entry door. And went to see who it was, and it was a policeman. And he was there really to tell us we were making a lot of noise. But we invited him to show him what we were doing. And he said, "All right, that's the last you'll hear from us." And off he went, which was smashing. And the other organisation I'd like to mention is a company called Veers, who were making bread, pastry, and all those kind of things. And when we were doing part of the Long March, I went across and told Viers and asked if they could help by providing bread, etc. And they were absolutely superb. Everything you wanted, they would give you.
Okay, to you.
Yes, superb, there was no doubt about it. And that was the general spirit in Rotherham, that compared with what I think happens today, in those days, and you're going back to 1950s, 1960s in particular, the community spirit was a lot more recognised than you can see it today. I'm not saying community spirit doesn't take place, but not as, if you like, in your face, which is a harsh comment, but nevertheless, you could see the community spirit working.
Yeah.
Whereas, in my opinion, you don't see it today.
Would you be able to elaborate on what you believe the reasoning for that is? Would you say it's just modern technology or it's just changing of the times? Or?
I think partly changing of times, in that technology as we know it today with computers and phones, etc., was nowhere on the horizon. And in those days, because of that, your communication was through fellow colleagues, etc. And yes, the Rotherham Advertiser was still running way back in those days, and so used to pop across and tell the editor what we were going to do, and they were superb. They would advertise it for you. But that was about the end of the community spirit, as I would understand it.
Yeah. What would you say the future holds for the YMCA?
Well, I think the YMCA has still a long, long way to go. As you've mentioned, this is the 175th anniversary.
Yeah.
And just taking you back on that, on the 125th anniversary, we had a service in York Minster, and York Minster was full of YMCAs from all over the country. On the 150th anniversary, we had a celebration in Westminster Abbey.
Oh, brilliant.
And that was full. And now we've moved on to the 175th. I don't know of any, if you like, church services taking place to celebrate that. But certainly through Rotherham, for instance, there is something highlighting the 175th anniversary.
Yeah.
So that gives you a guide as to what happened in the past. So it wasn't in any way overlooked. And my thoughts of the YMCA going into the future is that there are many young people, along with volunteers, who are prepared to do something to keep the name alive. And if we can get another 175 years out of that, that would be smashing. Not that I would be about, but it would be smashing.
I'm sure they'll have you fixed to a robot before you know it. Head in a jar. I've seen Futurama, I know how it goes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, fantastic. So is there anything else you'd like to say in parting? Or you certainly don't have to finish there, but...
No, not at the moment. As you get a little bit older, memory tends to just fade a little.
At the ripe old age of 26, I can assure you, my memory's fading far quicker than your own.
But, no, I think I've covered the main thoughts. In just...
Yeah, of course. Right then, David. We're reaching the end of our interview for today. I'd like to thank you for... know, participating in this
magic.
Interesting
yes.
interesting
magic.
Event. Just parting thoughts. I think it's a pleasure to have spoken to you, and I think we've touched upon some very interesting topics. Hopefully we'll be able to, in a future interview, elaborate more on certain aspects
yeah.
and find more of a detailed point of reference on certain points. Do you have any parting thoughts?
The only thing I was going to ask, do you know of any other 175 anniversary interviews, etc., that are taking place or about to take place?
There have been plenty over the past couple of months
mm-hmm.
Since I was sent to Birmingham last... I can't quite remember when I was sent. When I was sent, since then there will have been some. There will be a couple more here with one worker and also an apprentice,
mm-hmm.
As well as a short interview with one of our volunteers. But yeah, there's been a couple in Bradford, there's been up and down the country, the length
yes.
and breadth of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that.
Yeah.
And does it go any further from this interview? Does it go to National Council or does it...
So what will happen with this interview is it'll be transcribed and it'll be sent off and it'll be edited to, you know...
Mm-hmm. To
take out all my random ums and ahs and... and
got you.
Yeah, blank
yes.
moments. Such as that one. And then it shall be used for a visual auditory display piece that will be presented here, actually, for our 175 exhibit. And then it will also continue on the roadshow and it'll
right.
compile as it goes mm-hmm. along. There was the most recent 175 event, though, that the roadshow started from was from London, and it was the Olympic Park, I think, actually.
Oh, yes.
And they've had... couple of thousand members of the YMCA from multinationally attend that one. So,
well,
fantastic.
Mm. And of the people who attended, has mm. there been interviews with any of those?
There will be, yes. I haven't got exact names and numbers of mm-hmm. interviews that have been taken out, but all of them will be archived and they'll be open for public access to
yes.
these archives from the Birmingham archives. I believe they will be kept. So yeah, by the time the entire roadshow's kind of concluded and finished.
Yes.
Which intentionally should be going all the way across to Canada and then America and the likes as well. By the time it's finished, there should be hopefully a lot more recorded history of the YMCA as an overarching organisation. Because over the past 175 years, while a lot of good work's been done, I feel like everything has been kept in its own little island. That's it. And this is kind of bringing it all back together as a larger family group, really. So, yeah, definitely.
That's a good thought.
Certainly. I'll be more than happy to send you through any other interviews anyway and the likes.
If I can be of help.
Certainly.
It'd be a pleasure.
It's been a joy anyway interviewing you.
Right.
You've been very patient.
Are you going off to do a bit more work now?
I shall have to quickly run through a secondary interview with Mr. Levi Allett, who's one of my colleagues. But then after that, I'll be working for the rest of the day with our young people who will all be escaping the rain, undoubtedly. So that should be a joy.
Is it still raining out there?
It's still damp. Still rather unpleasant. But anyway.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, David.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. You too.